I am blessed and honored and privileged to get to be before you guys today. I love church. I love being here. I love seeing y'all's smiling faces. I love me some church. Terrell Owens may love him some of him, but I love me some church. Amen. Well, as I was praying and preparing for this message, the Lord gave me a visual image in my mind. And the image that he gave me, actually, I found as a picture, which worked out perfect. And it was of me in the middle of a crowd. And I was perfectly visible, crystal clear. I could see what color I was, what shirt I was wearing, what my hair was done, what pants I had on, my shoes. And the crowd that was around me was all blurred. Couldn't notice anything about them. Couldn't see any details about them. Didn't know who they were. They were just another face in the crowd. And as I began to pray, the Lord took me to Philippians. And so I'm going to read that, and then we'll pray over God's words. Philippians 2, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 8. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, though it thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that we have today, Lord, to be here freely, to be in your house today, to hear your word. Father, I am just grateful, Lord, that you have told us in your word that your word does not return void. And so I know, Lord, that as we preach from the Bible today, Father God, that you will have an effect. Lord, I ask you right now to remove me, to get me out of the way. Any plans that I have right now, remove them, Father God, and let your spirit move in this place and have your way today in our sanctuary. In your name we pray. Amen. You know, one of the greatest struggles that the body of Christ has, and I say the body of Christ because I'm not preaching to Greatest Freedom Ministries, I'm talking about the body of Christ, is the lack of caring for others. Just take 1 second, and I want you to look around the room real quick and notice new people, people you haven't seen in a while. Just look around. I'm afforded the opportunity of being on the praise and worship team, and one thing I like about that is that I get to be up here. And so I actually get to see everybody. And so I know who I have to go after church if I haven't seen them for a while or they're new. It gives me that opportunity. But we have to be paying attention to what goes on around us. We have to take a minute, and we need to take a look around because there's opportunity waiting for us in each and every person that's here. The church has forsaken Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And the reason that they've forsaken that is because they have conformed to the world's train of thought. And that train of thought is, I'm going to look out for number one. Anybody heard that before? Look out for number one. Who's number one? Oh, we have smart people in the room. Who does the world think is number one? Us, right? When someone says, man, you better make sure you look out for number one, he's not talking about you paying attention to God. He's saying, boy, you better check, you know, make sure you get yours. And that's the world's train of thought. We watch these athletes who get paid millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars, and they hold out weeks and weeks and weeks to get more millions and millions and millions of dollars while their team struggles. God's called us to be servants, not to be by ourselves. As I was researching this out and looking some stuff up, I came across a quote. Robert J. Ringer wrote a book, Looking Out for Number One. It was the best-selling book in America for 46 weeks. I wonder how well a book called Looking Out for Number Two would have done. That number two is everybody else. God is number one. Number two should be all the other people around you. See, God doesn't tell us to look out for ourselves. Nowhere in His Word does God say, you better make sure you take care of you. No, He says, love your neighbor as yourself. Take care of your brothers and sisters. Lay down yourself. As husbands, we're to do what? Care for our wives. Love our wives like Christ loved the church. Man, we need to take a look around, because there's people in need right next to us that we miss every day. Every single day. And the reason that we miss them is because we're looking out for number one. And that happens every day of the week, including Sunday morning. Which for me is the saddest part. Because, man, when we come into these doors as Christians, as leaders, as people who call themselves disciples of Christ, if you call yourself a Christian, you are a disciple of Christ. A disciple of Christ is one who disciplines themselves after Jesus Christ. That means I try to model my life after Jesus. That's what that means. When I came and gave my heart to the Lord and allowed Him to come in and be Lord and Savior of my life, I surrendered my rights to me. We sing a song, sang it last week, I think, and it talks about surrendering my rights. I'm going to lay it down at the cross, and I'm going to go your way. Your will, your way. When you give your life to the Lord, your will and your way go out the window, and it becomes God's will and God's way. And God's will and God's way is one of servanthood. How many people know that He came to serve, not to be served? Right? So what are we to be? Servants. We're not to be served. We're to be servants. We're going to go to John 13. If you'll follow me there. Start in verse 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. When you get there, yell amen. All right. This is the time. This is the Passover. This is the Last Supper. And Jesus is with His disciples. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, He riseth from the supper, laid aside His garments, and took a towel, and girded Himself. After He poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them from the towel wherewith He was girded, then cometh He to Simon Peter. And Peter said unto Him, Lord, dost Thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do Thou knowest not now, but Thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto Him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said unto Him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For He knew He would betray Him. Therefore He said, Ye are not all clean. So after He had washed their feet, and had taken His garments, and was set down again, He said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for I am so. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. They had no idea what he was getting ready to do. They didn't understand that he was about to make the greatest sacrifice the world would ever see. And that humbling himself and washing their feet was just a representation of what he was getting ready to do. He was getting ready to take the dirt, the muck, the worst of the worst junk. These guys walked around in sandals through streets where horses and donkeys went. They were stepping in some nasty stuff. They weren't wearing shoes like we wear and socks like we wear. You think your feet are stinky after gym class? Try stepping in some donkey junk. That's what Christ did. He got on his knees and washed their feet. And he tells them, I am being an example for you. And he told them, you don't know what I'm doing. Really, I'm foreshadowing the fact that I'm about to sacrifice myself on the cross for you. But I'm giving you an example of what you're to be to everyone. He said, as I've done for you, do for each other. What does that mean? As I've been your servant, as I've just humbled myself and washed your feet, you need to humble yourself and serve those around you. You need to humble yourself and care for those around you. Now, if you're looking out for number one, like the world tells us to look out for, then when you see somebody with dirty feet, you're not going to touch them. Is there any individual who doesn't like to touch dirty feet? Raise their hand. I know there's at least one. You can raise your hand higher, honey. My wife hates feet with a passion. Even if they're clean, doesn't want to touch them. Doesn't like them. But this was just a symbol. He wasn't just telling us to wash our feet, and we've had foot washing ceremonies. It's an awesome ceremony. We've seen moves of God with that. But this wasn't just washing your feet. He's telling us you need to humble yourself, lower who you think you are, and serve. And so often in this world, we get this, like, people trying to blow us up. They like to blow hot air in our direction. And then we see a need. And our first is we're going to pick up the phone and call somebody else who's low enough to handle that need. Because, you know, that one's a little bit below me. You know, if you need something else, I might be able to handle it. But that need right there, yeah, that's for somebody else. That's just, you need somebody raised from the dead, you can call me. But, you know, you need somebody to wash the windows, sorry, I'm not your man. And that's what the world tells us. You're so important. You're so mighty. You need to think of yourself more. They have these classes. And listen, we need to love ourselves. Why? Because our identity is in Jesus Christ. Our identity is Him. And that's why we should love ourselves. But there's a difference between loving ourselves and thinking that we're all that. And when we start thinking that way, we start missing what's going on around us. We start missing the needs of the people around us. And I'm going to use us in this room today just as an example. But this doesn't just go here. This goes to your work. This goes to your home, to your family, to your kids, to your wife, to the extended family, to the people that you see on a regular basis. How many people here shop at the same grocery store on a very consistent basis? I know I run into Jackie at least 3 times a week at Food Lion, because that's like the place that we go, because it's right down the street from our house. So I'm pretty sure they know her. I know they know me, and I'm not in there half as much as she is. I've been in there on a number of occasions and walked up to the register to pay, and you can see by the countenance of the person that is standing across from you, they have had a rough day. Man, how's your day going? One of them days. It's almost 5 o'clock, right? You get up. No, I'm here till midnight. Oh, man. At least you got a job, right? Yeah, well. Man, can I pray for you? Can I pray for you? But here's the problem. Here's what most of us do. We step up to the line. We don't even ever look at the poor girl who's been at the register for the last 8 hours standing on her feet. Here's your money. Put in your MVP card. Yeah, have a blessed day. And our spirit man is inside of us screaming. Screaming at us. Look, stop, don't go. She needs help. She doesn't need your help. She needs his help. But guess what? You're a vessel of him. You're supposed to be carrying around the spirit. And so when you run into somebody who's in need, it's our job to help fill them up. It's our job to say, can I pray for you? Because I know somebody who can take care of your problem. I may not be able to, but I know someone who can. Let me tell you, that's probably the least of her problems is what's going on at work, because most of the time if you see them and they're having problems at work, there's problems other places. It's just evident by what's going on there. Right? I know when I have a bad day at work, it's usually not because I really had a bad day at work. It's because I walked out the door having issues with my wife, and instead of taking care of the issues of my wife, I went to work anyway. And so all of a sudden, Satan got a hold of me and he's on my back all day long until I get him off. We're warriors. I said this last week. I was raised to be a mighty warrior in the kingdom of God. I am not here to be in the back washing pans. I am here on the front line, and so are you. Every single one here is a mighty man and woman for God. God sent you out into the world, whether you like it or not. But it doesn't take a whole lot. All it takes is that brief moment of stopping and allowing the world to focus itself in front of us and realize there's opportunity. Because this picture is just all too true. That's us 99.9% of the time. The world is going like this around us. There's people who need our help. There's things at the church that needs to be done. Our kids need to be prayed for, need to be brought up, need to be trained, need to be taught. And the whole world is going by at a million miles a minute, and we're in the middle of it going, I'm not sure I have time for that. And we miss out. I walked into a waiting room the other day. I had to go to take my kids to the doctors to get their preschool checkups. Interesting, all in itself. And I walked into a room, and I had Katie Lynn with me. She's going to go get her shots. And there's a waiting room of parents. And I'm on my phone a lot, and so it was convicting for me. But I walked in, and the kids are running around like crazy, and all eight parents sat there like this. Kid would run by. Had no idea what was going on around them. And I'm not talking about their parenting skills, because all that does is tell me that is a microcosm, that is a small picture view of what the rest of their life looks like. Because I guarantee you, my kids are very important to me, and their kids are very important to them. So if they're willing to do that with their children running around, they have no idea what's going on with their neighbor. They have no idea. They don't know what's really going on with their family. They haven't stopped for a second and said, how can I minister to you? What is wrong? What's going on? I'm getting some amens. I got an amen corner today. I want to go back to something I said a second ago. It's not just, when we start talking about being servants, what immediately comes to mind for us, and I know this because I've sat where you guys are for 34 years. As soon as we hear anybody come up and get behind a pulpit and they use the word servant, we start looking around. Oh boy, what's dusty? What's dirty? What's he going to, at the end of this service, I know they're passing out a sheet, and we're looking for the exit. This isn't about physical, fleshly things. This is a spiritual matter. Because guess what? God cares about our spiritual man first and foremost. And there are so many who need ministered to. And it's their spiritual man that needs it. Their finances could be taken care of. Their kids might be doing all right. Their marriage might be okay. But inside, their spirit needs to be ministered to. And we're walking around spiritually blind. You know, when God gives you the Holy Ghost, there's a discernment that comes with that. Right, Butch? When you walk in the Spirit, God will give you a discernment of what's going on. It's the reason that our pastor will walk up to you and read your mail. How many people have had their mail read? I know there's more than that. You guys are all just keeping your hands down because you're embarrassed. I've had my mail. How you doing today? I'm doing great. Yeah, uh-huh. Really? Everything's good? So I saw your Facebook post last night. There's a level of discernment that comes with the walking in the Spirit. And as you grow spiritually and your spirit man grows, you will have discernment and you will look at somebody in the eye and the Spirit will say, bam, their marriage is in trouble. And they could be sitting there like this. And you're saying, how's your day going? And they're going, great. And your spirit's going, no, it's not, no, it's not, no, it's not, no, it's not. Don't let them walk away. And they start to walk away and your spirit man goes crazy. I've had it happen. And I have to go, you have to go after them. Hey, hold up one second. Dude, are you okay? Are you really okay? And then all of a sudden they shrug it. It's like a burden's been lifted. They've been carrying around this like fake thing the whole day. We do it at church. It's like you watch people, they get out of their cars and it's like they reach into their back and they put on a different jacket. My church jacket. But God has given us His Holy Spirit for a reason and for a purpose. He came as our helper. He came to empower us, right? He came to give us power. Part of that power is so we can serve. It's not so we can be high and mighty. It's not to look out for number one. God sent us to serve. He sent us to share His gospel. He sent us to go out into the world. I believe it was Brother Ron on maybe it was on Wednesday night. I can't remember. I could be wrong. So if I'm giving credit to the wrong person, don't get angry with me. Nope, I take it back. It was Pastor Holtus who was up here. Reverend Holtus who was here last week. And he said, sometimes you have to meet somebody's physical need first to open the door for their spiritual need. How many people here have had needs met by our pastor? I'll raise both hands. I've lived with him for 4.5 years. And then, quickly thereafter, you find yourself being ministered to. I'm jealous. He gets the phone calls to go to the hospital. You know why I'm jealous? Because every time he comes home from the hospital, this is what I get. Was at the hospital today. Was in the waiting room, waiting to go in and talk to the people that I was there to see. Shared the gospel with 5 people. Sitting there going, I want to go to the hospital with you. But do you know why that is? That's because he will sit in a room. And when he is looking around, he's not looking with his physical eyes. He's looking with the spirit. And it's like a sonar. I'm not lying. If you've been with him, you know. But guess what, guys? It shouldn't just be the pastor. That man carries a burden because there is a lack from the rest. God didn't say, pastors are to carry everybody's burdens, pray for everybody, save everybody, pay for everything, take care of everything. Evangelists are the only ones that are supposed to go out and preach the gospel, share the word, go into the rest of the world. Prophets are the only ones that are going to preach. No. He did not say that. When he sent his spirit, he said to give us power to then go what? Proclaim the gospel. Which comes with what? Ministering to people. We have to take a look around. If you've ever been in a big city, you can stand in one spot. I've been to New York, went to New York with Christy 2 years ago, I think now in October, and was in the middle of Times Square in the middle of the day. And I stood there. Just, it's one of those pictures that you see in like Time magazine of the time lapses of all the people going like this. And if you sit there for just a second and allow your eyes to unfocus, That's exactly how it feels. You could be lost forever standing in one spot. But that's our life on a daily basis. We get so caught up in me that we forget Philippians. We forget that he says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus Christ. We forget that Jesus, right before he went and died on the cross for our sins so that we could live freely, washed his disciples' feet. Wow. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who took our sins for us, right before he went to the cross, sat down with his disciples and washed their feet. What a servant. What an example for us. And yet it's hard for us to give up 5 minutes of our time to pray for somebody. How many people here have gotten texts, and you don't need to raise your hand on this one, I need prayer for this. Or you get an email that says, my family needs prayer for this. I need this, 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 this. How many times do you do what we just did? Pastor just stopped us and said, we're going to do it right now. How often are you willing to say, you know what? I'm getting one of my 15-minute breaks for work today, and instead of going out and taking a nap, or instead of going in and eating a snack, I'm going to go find a quiet place because I just got 2 text messages about people who are in need of prayer, and I'm going to get on my knees before God, and I'm going to pray for them. No, 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 no! Because then you're going to miss your snack. Or then you'll be too tired to get through the rest of the day at work. Or then you won't get to call your wife for that 5 minutes. Or there's a million excuses that we give because we don't want to sacrifice. We don't want to give it up. And I know the word says obedience is better than sacrifice, but guess what? In my opinion and in my experience, when you obey, guess what happens? You sacrifice. It's just a requirement. Usually when God calls me to do something, I've got to give something else up. If God says, hey, if I feel like the Spirit's leading me to go here and do this, there's probably other plans that are going to have to be canceled. When he calls you to be on a worship team, guess what? Wednesday nights after Wednesday service, you don't get to go home and eat at 7:30. You eat at 9 or 30 or 10. Why? Because it's just what happens. You have to give it up. Why? For other people. It's part of being in service. Matthew 22, 36 through 40. I'm just going to read it. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these 2 commandments hang all the law and prophecies. See, the problem with us is that when we see other people in need, we look at people. And there's this judgmental thing that goes on in our head where we go, well, I know that person, and that's their own fault. They wouldn't be there except, you know, they did it to themselves. You know, they've moved 9 times in the last, 12 months. I'm not going to help. She's always texting me about a prayer request for her mom. That's all she does is text me prayer requests for her mom. Why didn't she pray for her mom? God says, stop. First, you love me. Then you love your neighbor as yourself. He doesn't then go, then you love you. He never gets there. He stops. Rule number 1, love me. I'm God. Rule number 2, look around. Love your neighbor as yourself. And rule number 3, see all of the rest. Go to these 2. So if you can't figure something out, all you have to do is go to rule number 1 and rule number 2. I love God. If I love God, that means I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. That means Christ is my example. What would Jesus do? I know those bracelets became such a fad. It became such a cliche thing. WWJD. Everybody wore them. People who were cutting you off, flipping you off in traffic, yelling at you, screaming at you, they all had the WWJD bracelet on. But the truth is that was whoever came up with that was probably a God idea, because it reminded them of who they're to serve. God. I love God. What would Jesus do in this situation? He would love his neighbor as himself. So I'm going to go serve. I just saw that lady dip out of church at 100 miles an hour and run for her car. And she did not look happy. I'm either going to go get her because I know her and I have a relationship with her, or I'm grabbing my pastor and I'm saying, hey, Miss Smith just took off out the back door and she does not look happy. And give my pastor opportunity to go minister to somebody that I don't have the relationship to, because he does. Man, but you just look around. When we go to serve others, we put others in front of the line. It's like standing in a door. It's like being that person at the door, the first one to the door, and you open it up, and you just sit there and hold it. And you just let people go. What happens when you open that door one time? How long do you end up standing there? You end up being like the door holder. You should almost carry around one of those little triangles so you can like stick it in the door for a minute. Because as soon as you open it, now what people expect you to do is open it and shut it right behind you. Because that's what everybody does. And when you don't do that, they're shocked. They're amazed. God says, you have to put them before you. You have to put that person sitting next to you on your right, your left, in front, behind, before yourself. It's not about you. It's about him. That's it. It is about him and what he's called us to do. And what that means is we have to choose to submit ourselves to Christ. We have to choose to submit ourselves to the laws that God has governed us with. And the law is, love your neighbor as yourself. That's not just your neighbor at home. Although it is. That's everybody you come in contact with every single day. That lady in front of you at the grocery store line just became your neighbor because you're standing next to her. That lady who's running the grocery store line just became your neighbor. That guy in front of you who just cut you off at 100 miles an hour and everything in you wants to honk your horn and throw something at him. No. God says, slow down and let him in. Put him in line. I was in my car. This is kind of off trail, but it's an example. I was in my car with my daughter yesterday driving. And a lady cut us off. I mean, three lanes across, came flying across, almost hit me, almost hit the car in front of us, and then ended up about right there. And we pulled up kind of halfway next to her, and Katie Lynn looks out the back window and goes, hey, look, Dad, she's got a Jesus fish. It's like, yes, she does. Yes, she does. So we love her. When we make that choice to submit to Christ, and we make the right choice to be a loving servant, each of us must come to that place where we willingly lay down our lives and give everything to God. A full surrender. This is not something just for pastors, just for missionaries, just for those working full-time in the ministry. Every believer is called to follow Jesus' example and have a servant's heart. Some, and there's probably a couple of you here listening to me right now, who think that cost is too great. But think about what God did for you. Think about what Jesus Christ was willing to do for you. Jesus, having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. Jesus would wash your feet for you. Wow. He'd wash your feet. Can you imagine being a disciple and fully believing that this is Jesus Christ, the Son of the Most High God. And he walks in. I think most of us would have had Simon Peter say, no, you're not touching my feet. I know where these feet have been. And then it hits you. He loves me so much. He's willing to humble himself and get down on a knee before me and wash all the grime and the junk off of my feet, even though he doesn't have to. Even though he could command 1,000 angels to say, just take care of that. He has that power, but he doesn't. He humbles himself and makes himself a servant. Just as Jesus is willing to lay down his life for you, you're called to lay down your life for each other. We are called to make the sacrifices that we don't want to make, that the world tells us not to make. The world shouts that it's all about you. It's all about your kids. It's all about your family. It's all about your job. But nowhere in God's word does it tell us this. It says it's all about him. It's all about his plan. It's all about his word. And his word tells us that we're called to serve one another. I'm going to go back to Philippians real quick. Oftentimes we talk about having the mind of Christ. And there's so much involved in having the mind of Christ. That's a deep well. There's a song called Stirring Up Deep, Deep Waters that we're going to be hopefully singing soon. That's deep water. But he tells us right here in Philippians 2, let this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus Christ. Now, when he speaks to the mind, that speaks to our flesh. That speaks to this thing up here that's in between your ears. How many people know that's like the hardest thing to change? Have you ever tried to change somebody's mind who's set in their ways? How many people here, and we'll pray for you when we're done, are Redskin fans? There will be ministry time in the pastor's office when we're done here. When we're done, you'll either be Eagles fan or Cowboys fan. I'm a Cowboys fan. My wife is an Eagles fan. We have now been married for going on over 11 years. Woo, going on 12. Praise the Lord. She's probably over there saying, 12 years, it feels like 50. For 12 years, going on 12 years, we have been married and known each other for about a year before that. And we have both tried really, really hard to change the other one. I have tried and failed to show her that the Dallas Cowboys are God's team, and that he watches them, and that the reason they have the star in their helmet is because he's the bright and morning star. And then she quotes back Isaiah and talks about rising on eagle's wings. And we go back and forth. I tell you this because we're never going to change each other. I love her for who she is, and I root for her Eagles when they're not playing my Cowboys. And she roots for my Cowboys most of the time when they're not playing her Eagles. But it's not going to happen. I'm not going to change her mind. It's really hard to change a mind. Really, the only person who can change your mind, oh, there's two. God. Usually when he changes your mind, it's painful. Not because he means it to be painful, but because we make it painful. He usually gives it the easy way and the hard way, and most of us jump off into the empty pool. Hard way. And then there's us. We can change our own mind. He's given us the power of the Holy Spirit to do that. That's the reason we have the Holy Spirit, is because that is what gives us the power to say, mind, I call you into submission with the Word of God. And the Word of God says, I'm to be Christ-minded. And Christ's mind was that he loved his neighbors and that he thought of his neighbors before himself. So mind, I'm calling you to submission right now. This very moment, this very instant, I call a change right there. I'm going to be others-minded. That's what you have to do. You literally have to make it an intentional thing. It doesn't just happen overnight. It just doesn't. It's an intentional thing where you wake up in the morning, you go before God, you get in prayer, you're on your knees, you read His word, and before you walk out of your quiet time, you say, "All right, Lord, I need you to open my eyes today. Who do you have for me to minister to today? Because I know there's somebody out there in need. I know there's somebody out there who doesn't know you. I know there's somebody out there who's in financial need, who needs food, who needs help, who needs clothes. Most importantly, Lord, I know there's somebody out there that I'm going to run into today who needs me just to pray for them. Can you show me who that is, Lord? Can you open my eyes? Can you open my spiritual eyes to who it is that I need to minister to today?" Our problem is there's only a couple people in the body of Christ doing that, and 99% of them are our pastors. JJ on Wednesday night gave an awesome, awesome message. That was a great time of if you don't know, Wednesday nights, Supernatural Ministry of Helps, come get some. But he talked about praying for your pastor, not about your pastor. See, so many of us aren't praying for anybody but ourselves. We pray about a lot of people. "Lord, would you please show the pastor that his messages are too long? Or would you please show the pastor this? Or would you please show the pastor that? Would you please show my mother-in-law this or my mother-in-law?" I'm using these examples because I know these people well and I don't want to offend anybody else. "Would you please show my wife this or show my wife that?" And God's just saying, "Dude, it's all about you. You have to change your mind. Instead of worrying about all that, you need to be praying for them and building them up." That's what we're called to do as a servant, to serve. To get on our knees and wash those dirty feet. They're nasty. They're grody. They're dirty. You're going to get your hands dirty. Guess what? If God's willing to touch camel dung and donkey dung and horse dung, and He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, there is nothing below me. There is nothing below me. It's funny, when we read these things, we just kind of read through it. "Oh, He washed their feet. That was nice of Jesus." And then we start to read it, and we say, "You know what, I'm gonna research that." And then you go back and you find out, oh, in Jesus' times, there weren't toilets. After they used the bathroom, they just took the bucket and dumped it out their window on the street. And they didn't have those cool people that they have in parades now with shovels and garbage cans going behind all the horses and the donkeys. They just got left. So when it tells me that Jesus washed His disciples' feet, that was a nasty job. And yet He humbled Himself and did it. He was willing to make that sacrifice and do it. And like I said, that was just a foreshadowing. That was symbolic of the fact he was willing to get rid of the dirtiest, nastiest junk on the bottom of their feet. He was willing to get rid of the dirtiest and the nastiest and the junk in our lives. But He's called us to do the same thing. He's called us to be servants. You know what happens when you serve? All of a sudden, your problems disappear. You think I'm kidding? I'm not kidding. When you're willing to humble yourself and look around and meet the needs of others, you realize that your needs really aren't as big as you thought they were. All of a sudden, man, that cough you've had, that you've complained about for the last 15 weeks to anybody that'll listen, but you won't let them pray for you. Man, when you go to pray for somebody, and they've got a physical need that, man, can't be met by doctors, can only be met by God. All of a sudden, your life looks a whole lot different. All of a sudden, things just, that you don't meet them through the same view anymore. I'm going to, Becky, with your permission, I'm going to use you as an example real quick. I get the privilege of picking up Becky and Kayla and bringing them here. And I have picked her up, I can't, countless times. I couldn't tell you how long. There has never been a morning that I picked up Becky and Kayla where Becky was not joyful. She takes care of her daughter day in and day out. And yeah, she's the mom, but guess what? I'm a dad, and I'm not always joyful. And she's joyful every time. And I help them, we help them get in and get going, and I've gotten to have conversations and hear about the things that they go through and the doctor's visits and the surgeries and everything that's gone on in her life. And man, I just pray. God, give me her strength to deal with my kids. God, give her your strength. It's just amazing when we're willing to kind of just serve and look around for a second, God will just blow your mind with how blessed you are. Guess what happens at work with the person who's willing to clean the bathroom? This was a study done by a Ivy League college. Guess who the fastest person is to get promoted? Any guesses? I just gave you the answer. It's the guy that cleans the toilets. If you're in an office and they don't have somebody cleaning the bathrooms and they need a volunteer and you're willing to raise your hand and say, I'll take care of that, what does that tell your boss? Boy, he's willing to do anything. He's not worried about his ego. He's not worried about what it looks like to go in there with his rubber gloves on and take off his jacket and his coat and get down and get dirty. That's the guy that gets promoted. The guy that says, there's nothing you can have me do that's below me, is the guy that gets promoted. That's the one. That's the one that gets promoted. With a servant's heart, we give our lives to the Lord one day at a time, literally from moment to moment. The reality is that what we're given isn't ours. We're given a life, and we're required just to give little bits here and there. None of us in here is likely to have to give the way that Jesus Christ gave. Nobody here. Now, Pastor Carl, we know he's called to go out, but we know he's protected, so we're not worried about him. But we don't live in China. We don't live in Iraq, where if you profess your faith... I can't even talk today, guys. I apologize. If you profess your faith in Jesus Christ, you're going to be killed for it. We don't live there. We live here. So we're called just to give little bit by little bit. Problem is, for most of us, it's like money. We're given $1 million. We'll just say that's what our life is worth. We have a problem giving out a dollar at a time. The most we're ever really required is probably $100 of our life. We're never called to give the full million. And yet we struggle. We struggle with that. Satan convinced us that the cost is just too great. The enemy will magnify the little that we're asked to give to others, making it seem like a great loss. Anybody ever had that happen? I have. I've been convicted. Felt like the Lord told me that I needed to do something for somebody, whether it was give financially or whether it was give of my time. And all of a sudden, man, it was like there was this little voice right here. Well, you can't give that. You can't do that. If you do that, you know what bill's not going to get paid? If you give that tithe, do you know what's going to happen with your rent? And he just keeps trying to blow this thing up and make it so big. And God's going, that's just this big. That's nothing. Matthew 6:20. And I'll just go there. You can write it down. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Lay up, and this is verse 19, I'll go back. Lay up, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do break in and steal. God's telling us where we're supposed to lay up our treasures. It's not about the here and now. It's about there. Guess what? Your time is currency with God. When you're willing to give of your time, you're laying up and storing treasures in heaven. When you get off work and you've worked a 12-hour day and you get a phone call from somebody that says, man, I could use your help. And you say, all right, I know this guy. And he's only been coming to church for a couple weeks. I'm going to go show the love of Jesus Christ. I'm going to go move some boxes. Even though I'm exhausted, I'm going to go do it anyway. And you lay yourself down, you're not just moving boxes. You're laying up treasures in heaven. Why? Because you're showing the love of Christ to somebody. They know that you've worked all day. They know that you're tired. But when you say, heck yeah, man, I'll come over and help you out. What do you need? They see the love of Jesus Christ through us. They see that you're willing to look around. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. That's Jesus speaking right there in Matthew 16:25. That's him saying, if you're willing to give up your life, guess what? I've got an eternal one waiting on you. But if you're going to hold on to that life, if you're going to say, hey, I'm looking out for number one, it's all about me, you'll lose it. It will disappear before your eyes. Do you know who gets, the most blessed people I know are the biggest givers. And I'm not just talking financially over that as one of them. Time-wise, they're givers. Food-wise, they're givers. They're the ones willing to give you a hug when you need it the most. And God just blesses them. That's the reality of it, guys. We see this, and it's like a two-edged sword because it gives us the truth. Man, if you hold on to that life and you won't let it go, I'll take it from you. But if you'll give it to me, I got something way better. And that's the message for today, guys. God has called us to serve. And he's called us to look around in this room, in your community, in your city, in your state, in your family. He said, open your eyes. Take the focus off of you. Put your watch down and your phone down for a minute. I've got somebody that needs your help. How many people here have loved ones that they pray for on a regular basis? All of us got some. You know, most of my family is all over the world, all over creation. None of them are here. So when I pray and I ask the Lord to do something, I have to have faith that it's not going to be through me. He's going to use somebody else. Which requires that there be a somebody else who's willing to serve. And there's people all around us who are here and their families are somewhere else where they've lost all their family. And they've got people praying for them. Lord, can you send somebody, a laborer of the harvest, to help out my friend, to help out my brother, to help out my son? And it requires us to be obedient and serve. Because God wants to use us to meet that need. So what's it going to be for us? Are we going to follow Jesus' example? Are we going to do what Jesus says? If that's the truth, then we have to become a servant. Your heart needs to be imprinted with the pattern established by Jesus, a servant's heart. What will a servant's heart look like in our day and life today? You will consider others better than yourself. Pride will give way to humility. We will overcome our swollen heads and our repulsion to stinky feet. Sorry, I had to laugh. I'm not preaching at you, honey. No longer will we see ourselves as too good to help, nor will we be afraid to get our hands dirty. Now, as I close, I shared three rules with you. Love God, because he's number one. Love others, because they're number two. And rule number three, and any rules after that, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, see rules number one and two. That's what God's word says. I'm paraphrasing it and changing the wording a little bit, but that's the rule. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and heart and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. All other law and prophecy are in those two things. So those are our rules. We really only need two. But we throw the third one in there so that you can't make up an excuse and make up your own number 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. The greatest act of servanthood that we can show is to share the gospel. That's it. I'm learning. I'm getting better at it. I was blessed when the Lord called us up here because I knew when I came up here, I was going to get a dose of what evangelism looked like. It had been years since I'd been a part of anybody who had the desire to share the gospel like our pastor does. And I'm learning. I have a long way to go. I'm getting better. But that is the greatest act of servanthood that we can do, is to humble ourselves and say, do you know Jesus Christ? Do you know him? Our youth, we all showed up to youth camp in shirts, big, bright, yellow shirts that say, do you know for sure? Do you know for sure? Do you know that if you died today, that if you passed away in this moment, if God came right now, because he's coming in the blink of an eye, that you would be standing before him? Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Those are like the hardest questions for us to ask. And yet it's the greatest act of servanthood that we can do while we're here. So I'm going to ask you guys. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I know him. He's my friend. Man, I've been through some junk. My wife and I have been through things in our marriage, and I've been through things with my dad. And you know what? He never left me. He never forsaked me. He was always right there. And there was times that I ignored him. He never ignored me. For many of us, every single one of us have sinned. God's word says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You've sinned. I've sinned. Everybody around you sinned. His word also tells us the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. The gift of God is eternal life. When he talks of eternal, he uses the word abundant, which means above and beyond anything we can possibly comprehend. God so loved the world that he sent his son onto this earth to be the greatest servant of all, to literally be crushed on the cross of Calvary. Because he wasn't just stuck there. He wasn't duct taped. He was crushed on that cross, and his blood was spilled.